Welcome back to World Football Daily here on Tuesday's edition of the show. It was the big Ballon d'Or presentation night last night, and a man that was there and a man that still continues to lead at least the English-speaking Spanish journalism of La Liga is, of course, Mr. Graham Hunter joining us on the show today. Graham, how are you, mate?
I'm well. I enjoyed that gala that you're talking about very much indeed. It was really just a gold filigree marking of Spain's, you know, dominance of world football.
It is a dominance. The main talking point from last night, though, has been how dominant the La Liga teams were, obviously, in the FIFA World 11 last night. A little bit too much bias, possibly, on Spanish football there?
No. I really feel strongly about this. I think that, you know, I'm of a certain age. You know, I've lived through the various ways in which the country I was born in, which is the United Kingdom, didn't really value or understand, say, the World Club Championship. I didn't really value or understand the importance of the Ballon d'Or because it was a French invention. But over the years of the Ballon d'Or, if you look back at the winning roster, it is an exceptional list of the great and good. Sometimes the all-time great and good. Sometimes the great and good flourished over a season or two. And the history of that award, the power of that award is undeniable. But more importantly, and this is the reason that I stress, Oliver, that the difference I think it makes across my quarter century as a football journalist is that there's never been a more definitive voice than was heard at last night's gala. Number one, the Ballon d'Or, which I know you weren't speaking about, but the Ballon d'Or, the fact that it merges the opinion of every FIFA captain, who took the trouble to vote at least, every FIFA coach, plus elite journalists, correspondents for France Football, who base their livelihood on being not only exceptional on the soccer in their own country, but deeply aware of leading football nations right around the globe. That to me, in terms of the Ballon d'Or award, means that there's never been a more definitive voice since the two awards, the FIFA World Footballer and the Ballon d'Or, were merged into one. Now, the 11 that you're talking about, the FIFA Pro 11, they tell us, and I'm taking on trust because I haven't counted every ballot paper, that over 50,000 professional footballers voted. 50,000. Now, maybe those numbers over the years will go up as the prestige and as the profile for that team of the year increases. It's feasible that you know, people who listen to your show can legitimately say, well, I'm not entirely sure about Marcelo. I'm not entirely sure about Dani Alves. Whatever. Opinions are fantastic. Opinions fuel the game, and there are a lot of fans, punters we call them, in this side of the ocean, who are as knowledgeable as many people who are in the game. But when you get the football fraternity saying, that's the 11, those are the things that pick away at it very quickly, because again, over my journalistic career, I've been taught that it's often the case that no matter how eloquent you are as an analyst, no matter how much research you do, it does help to have played the game sometimes. And I'm going to back, you know, that award. I'm not going to carp about the one or two positions that I would have changed in that 11, simply because I believe in the veracity of the vote, the authenticity of the vote.
But, Graham, you say you kind of understand that people will have their arguments about it. Do you think there is in part an argument that the division between Messi and Ronaldo and the kind of the rivalry that they have has filtered down to basically has built up this atmosphere around Real Madrid and Barcelona, and that's why Alves and Marcelo and people like that maybe who are slightly more questionable have been put in, because everybody's talking about Messi v Ronaldo, then Barca against Real Madrid, and it's just been almost ingrained in our minds that these are the best two sides in the world.
Well, look, I understand your logic there. I don't agree with it simply because, you know, I you were born in the same nation as I was, and I'd be really interested to hear what your audience say in North America, because one of the things when this debate comes up around times that are not Ballon d'Or awards, well, I'm constantly reminded of one of the great things about the English Premier League, for example, Oliver, is that it's more professional and it's structured better. It's sold better. It's marketed brilliantly around the world. It gathers more money for the English game because it has greater penetration around the globe, and Spain doesn't. One of the things that Spain is not particularly good at is football administration. The way in which the television rights are sold in Spain are all divided up. There's an inequality in terms of who gets what from the football money pie when it's divided up. it's also the case that it's slightly harder, significantly harder to watch Spanish football right round the globe than it is to watch English football. The English football marketing machine is dominant. Now, if you were hinting at an agenda there whereby maybe some of the picks in that 11, FIFA 11, have come along on the coattails of Messi and Ronaldo, well, I don't buy that, because what we hear, Arsenal and Manchester United and Liverpool and Chelsea and Everton and Spurs and the Premier League itself trumpeting, is that they are the dominant television force of world soccer. And therefore, why the hell wasn't Robin van Persie or Wayne Rooney or Ashley Cole voted for by their fellow pros? So I'm extrapolating, I'm guessing, I'm not claiming, I'm not an idiot, I'm not claiming to have been in the mind of every one of the 50-odd thousand professional footballers who voted, but I'm trying to say that analytically, if anybody's arguing that this is some sort of power of marketing vote, then it flies directly in the face of the message that is churned out by English football, English football's media, and the administrators of English football.
Do you agree with the critics as well? Because it's not just been English Premier League fans that have been saying this. You know, fans of Serie A and the Bundesliga as well, saying that while Spain may be dominant in these awards yesterday, there's still a case that other leagues are, you know, more entertaining at least, as opposed to being, say, the quality. But there is more entertainment in other leagues. Or would you say that this also helps make Spain the most entertaining league to watch as well in football?
Well, look. I think whenever you ask people like yourself or myself or our colleagues to make generalizations like that, you leave yourself open to people who passionately believe one way or the other. And you won't find me in this interview bad-mouthing, for example, the Bundesliga, because the Bundesliga is increasingly good in terms of its technical quality. The Bundesliga is helping train young German footballers to play technically exquisitely. The fans are treated better there than I think almost anywhere in the world, not just in terms of prices, but in terms of being allowed to have a drink, having contact directly with the players. The players regularly are asked to go and have a sing-song with the fans after the game is finished, just behind the goal, you know, in the bleachers. These are extraordinary things. You won't find me putting the Bundesliga down. And even though I regularly argue that I think the quality of La Liga is higher than the quality of the Premier League in England, you won't find me putting down the brilliant fan culture in England, the extraordinary stadia, the better organisation, the brilliant television coverage. You won't find me putting the boot into a league that boasts Van Persie and Aguero and brought Yaya Toure over and has coaches like Mancini and Ferguson and Rafa Benitez now back again and AVB. So when you go for that pound for pound analogy that you were asking for, all I'll say is that I'm clear about the criteria I used. For me, what I want to see is high quality football, and I regularly see sufficient amount of entertaining football that the blend is good enough. The blend is the best for me. Pound for pound is the boxing analogy. I'm certain that everybody who listens into the show uses that pound for pound analogy, where you try to iron out all the kinks and say, okay, if you take the full package, what's the best? There are games in Spain which maybe don't fit that template. But let me tell you, there are games in England which don't fit that, the template of our Manchester United 4, Chelsea 3, 2. And what I hang on to in Spain is that if there's a game where it's 1-0 or it's a little bit arid in terms of attacking intention, what you always see is players who can go by their man, players whose first touch is exquisite, players who try daring things, players who are technically able and the second touch isn't a tackle. These things matter to me. And increasingly, I think what you saw last night was a global verification that these things matter to the professional football game too. And my feedback from people who either listen to what I broadcast or read what I write, my feedback from them is that, you know, the punters, the paying punters feel that way too.
Graham, if we can just have 30 seconds of your time with a final question with the Messi and Ronaldo, the Ballon d'Or debate. Obviously, we know where you sit on that side of the debate already. But what about now for Cristiano Ronaldo, and how much does Madrid's reaction as a side have an impact on what happens to him in the summer and his future at Los Blancos?
You've set me a, you know, a Herculean task. You can't do that in 30 seconds, baby. What you can say is that what I will say absolutely clearly and loudly is that my respect for Cristiano Ronaldo keeps going up and up and up. I'm sure that doesn't matter a hoot to him, but I want it on the record. I admire him. I like him. I think he's a behemoth of the game, an absolute beast of modern football. And the fact that Leo Messi manages to subjugate him to it is a marker of Messi's absolute greatness. It literally is. To keep Ronaldo at bay is an astonishing feat. Now, is he happy with the way that the club functions? No, he isn't. Is it instantly easy for the most expensive player in the world to find another place where he is happy and get himself there? No, it's not. So patently, the answer to the second part of your question is, it matters hugely what happens, number one, with the rest of the league. Two, how they fare in the Champions League. Three, what does Jose Mourinho do? Because ostensibly, at this view, it doesn't look like he merits another season because of the breakdown in relationship. Not because of 6 months of bad results, but because his behaviour and his relationship with the fans, the media and the club isn't good. So these things matter hugely, but so does the market, who can afford them. And there's another factor, and it's vital that people understand this. There are presidential elections coming at the end of the season for Real Madrid, and whether Florentino Perez can afford to let Cristiano Ronaldo go, whether he needs to use him as, you know, the basis of another mandate, another 4 years, these things all count hugely as to whether Cristiano Ronaldo will be allowed to leave, even if he wanted to leave. So it's an immensely complex picture, and I'm enjoying trying to unpick it, and we'll be doing so right through till July.
It's going to be a very interesting final second half of the season in Spain, that's for sure. And Cristiano Ronaldo and Jose Mourinho's futures at Los Blancos still up in the air. Graham, it's a pleasure to have you on today. Thank you so much for squeezing us in into your busy schedule. I hope you had a great night last night at the presentation, and we look forward to get you back on the show again in 2013 later on.
Yeah, Happy New Year to everybody listening, and let's speak again very soon.
Cheers, Graham. Thank you very much, and Happy New Year to you too as well. Graham Hunter there joining us here on World Football Daily to take us through a little bit of what happened last night with the Ballon d'Or award, Messi v Ronaldo, and Messi coming up on top, as we were saying earlier in the show, with an incredible 4 Ballon d'Ors in a row. Lionel Messi, does this make him the greatest player on earth? Does this make him the greatest we've ever seen? And Graham making an interesting point there about people didn't used to really care about the Ballon d'Or. Now it's, you know, considered the most prestigious award for a footballer to get.
We know you love that free bit from us here at WFD. Now go and sign up and get access to a huge archive of our content and interviews, and download the best daily podcast in America. Go to worldfootballdaily.com and become a member today.